Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a terrific day down here in Florida, getting some rain, which is not usually too bad of a thing. Cools it down some. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. Like you said, it's probably in the low 80s here today, kind of overcast, not having to deal with the sun and the brightness. And so it's kind of a nice day. It's kind of a relaxing day, kind of a duck day, I guess you would say, where the ducks would be paddling around in a pond. So, yeah, I enjoy it. It's good. It's a nice day. It's nice and cool. Humidity's a little high because of the rain, but the temperature's good. So we're all good here, bud.
Good. Well, to start things off today, man, I told you we were going to start looking into some stuff, any shady behavior over the last month that's been going on out with MGM or Mandalay or any of those hotels out there. And I came across this today, early this morning, that blatantly shows from the Security and Exchange Commission that the CEO of MGM Grand, which MGM Grand owns Mandalay Bay Casino Hotel, sold off all of his MGM stock just weeks ago. The MGM Grand, like I said, it owns Mandalay Bay. CEO James Murren sold 294,150 shares of his stock in the final transaction on Friday, September 8th. The shares were sold for an average price at $34.08 for a total transaction of $10 million combined of all three of the transactions he did. That was actually at the peak of MGM Grand that it's pretty much ever been before. He sold it right at the very top. The highest I think it peaked out at was like $34.28. And his last one that he sold it for was on average of $34.08. Now, the weird thing about this is I brought this up. He started doing this the beginning of August. He did it again August 9th. Then he finalized it again on September 8th. This guy has got a pretty good track record as far as what he's been doing with stuff. So it makes it very odd to me, as being the CEO of MGM Grand for the last 12 years, that he just decides randomly a month before this is supposed to happen, he literally dumps all of his holdings in MGM Grand. He came to the company in 1998. It was the CFO in 1999. He became the president. In 2008, he became the CEO. They said that he was the architect of a $15 billion acquisition, including Prima Donna Resort, Mirage Resort, and Mandalay Resort Group in 2005, the acquisition that helped transition MGM into the largest gaming company. He was repeatedly honored at the gaming and lodging industry, and then in 2009, he led an extensive reorganization of the company, resulting in over $500 million in savings. This, together with a $3.8 billion financing effort, kept the company from failure during the recession in 2008-2009. John Mack, who is CEO of Morgan Stanley, surprise, surprise, said that Jim, basically his background and his experience with the financial markets management operations has enabled him to keep the company successful. So James was with this place for 12 years as the CEO, and now has dumped off over $10 million in stock. Finalized that less than a month before the shooting, Dad. I don't think that's very coincidental at all, in my opinion.
Oh, well, the same thing happened with 9/11. I mean, we had a huge shorting of the airline stocks. Tens of millions, if not billions of dollars were made by people who were speculating. Plus, a lot of the people in the trade towers were told not to come to work on 9/11. I mean, this place, we had several thousand people die on 9/11. The trade towers held like 50,000 people on a normal work day, and the vast majority of them were told not to show up. And of course, a lot of them were evacuated, but a lot of them simply didn't show up that day. So you got to remember, guys, you know, in 1929, when the Sabbatean boys decided to short the stock market and drive it back down, they declared a bunch of their... See, what happened is, in the 20s, they loaned a whole bunch of money out to a bunch of farmers and people all over the country, and they were borrowing money and speculating in the markets with it. And what they did is they had really loose capital. They were making money really, really easy to borrow. Well, in 1929, they told their top people, you know, to basically get out of the market, sell off, get out of it now, because we're fixing to short the market, including the Rockefellers. And they sold all of their holdings and all their equities and all of their money, and all of these guys were involved with the Rothschild banking cartel, and they salvaged all of their net worth. And then, of course, they shorted the market, called their notes due. People couldn't pay the loans because the money wasn't in circulation. And I've explained that to you in detail before. When the money is created, the debt is created, but the notes themselves are never created. So there's not enough money in circulation to completely get rid of the debt. In other words, we have $20 trillion in deficit right now in the United States, which is much, much higher than that. But we only have a few trillion dollars in the M1. So if you took all of the money in circulation and tried to pay off the debt, you'd still be 10 times shorter, not including the derivatives market, which is even in the hundreds of times shorter. So the money doesn't exist. So that's what these guys always have an insider, don't they, Austin? They always find out what to do and how to dump stuff before it happens. It's almost like somebody contacts them, you know, say it sends them a little next day air package and go, by the way, you need to be out of the markets by X and X day. And they do. In the vast majority of cases, they do. But, you know, it's interesting because Catherine Austin Fitz had a really interesting person on her website, on her show a few weeks ago. And this is with Dr. Mark Skidmore. And Catherine said that there's $21 trillion in undocumented adjustments now in accounting from the military. $21 trillion, Austin. I mean, this is insanity. This week with Catherine Austin Fitz, he's the Moore State Chair in Local Government and Policy of Michigan State University. He went in and said that there were $21 trillion in undocumented adjustments at the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development and HUD between 1998 and 2015. You know, $21 trillion. That's the entire national deficit that they're showing on the books and just deficits through HUD and through the Department of Defense. This is just the extraction of huge amounts of money from the government, from the people of the United States, by the rogue elements of the government that are doing all of this stuff. And it just grieves me also when you see this fact. I just saw this on the SRS Rocco report today, studying U.S. government debt increase in the past few days while no one noticed. Again, maybe that's why we have this little thing out there at Mandalay Bay. As the stock market continues to rise on the back of some of the worst geopolitical, financial, and domestic news, the U.S. Treasury has been quietly increasing the amount of government debt with virtually no coverage by the mainstream alternative media. Why? Because it's been all about Mandalay Bay. The surge in U.S. debt that took place over the past 2 days all started when the debt ceiling was officially allowed to increase on September the 8th. In just one day, get this, in one day, the U.S. Treasury increased the public debt by $318 billion in one day. This is the first time in U.S. history that the public debt rose over $20 trillion, and this is absolutely not going to stop. These guys are pumping money, pumping money, pumping money, pumping money, extracting the wealth out of the United States, Austin. What do you think, bud?
Over $300 billion in one day. I mean, it's almost hard to fathom that much money. I mean, you know, you see people that are multimillionaires, and then, you know, a few of the select are billionaires where they're worth $2 or $3 billion, and you're talking about the national debt rose over $300 billion in one day. Never let a good crisis go to waste is one of the mantras of the globalists. This is what they always do. If you always look behind the curtain every time we have an incident like this, whether it's BP oil spill, which, by the way, that also got massively shorted right before that whole thing started, they massively shorted BP. Also, too, I talked a couple weeks ago about Equifax. The three top, like the CEO and the top other executives, sold like $3 million in stock right before they released publicly that Equifax had lost all that security info. Same thing that Dad talked about with 9/11. If you look at almost every single catastrophe that happens, or attack, or mass shooting, or significant issue that arises that goes on a U.S. scale, almost every time you'll see that those companies were shorted and people that were involved in them sold millions, if not tens of millions, if not sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars in shares right before it happened. Within a few weeks or a few months, this guy, like I said, with James out there, with the CEO of MGM out in California, Vegas, this is not coincidence, guys. He didn't sell this stuff 3 weeks for over $10 million in shares 3 weeks before the shooting, when he's been with the company for 12 years as a CEO. I'm sure he's making a sizable amount of money there. At the same time, he sells it at literally the peak of the market at MGM, over $34 a share, the highest it's essentially ever been in history, and ends up raking home a ton of cash after he dumps all of his stock 3 weeks later, there's a massive shooting. The shares dumped, I think, almost $4 a share in one day, and they've flattened out this week to around $30 a share. We'll see if it goes down any further, depending on what other news goes out. But also, too, of course, the gun representatives are clamoring already to start banning accessories on guns. I looked up today after yesterday, Senator John Cornyn said at a hearing that banning bump stock devices was a worthwhile topic. I got on GunBroker this morning, and last night, yesterday, Slidefire Stocks, which the company Slidefire that makes those, they sell for $2.99. The company's now halted all sales. You can't even do a checkout on their website anymore. $2.99 retail. Went on GunBroker this morning. The top bid was $1,020 for one Slidefire stock overnight. That's huge, guys. I mean, that's like 500% increase. So they're done. And this guy, as he said now, he said it's the representative, Senator John Cornyn, who's a Republican out of Texas, by the way. So they're getting all these guys from all across the board to start coming out of this now. He said it's illegal to transform semi-automatic weapons into automatic weapons. He is correct about that. And he said it's illegal to buy an automatic weapon unless it's either pre-86 and you have a special license and then go special background checks and pay a tax stamp. He's also correct about that. And he also reported that ATF approved the bump stock devices because they're an accessory, not a conversion device. They do absolutely nothing to the trigger, nothing to the weapon. The gun rocks back and forth inside of the stock. Not a big fan of one. I don't have them. Quite frankly, I wish I owned about 50 of them right now. I'd start selling them for $1,000 a piece, but I don't. I've never liked them. I don't buy gun products or accessories that I don't believe in nor that I'll use, and I've never liked them. I've shot them before. They make the gun very wobbly and inaccurate when you shoot it. You got to practice with it a lot, and it just ends up being a waste of ammo regardless. But he said now, I don't know a lot about them, but he thinks bump stocks are something that the Senate needs to take a look at. Senate Homeland Security Chairman Ron Johnson, also a Republican, came right out and said he supports a full ban on bump stock devices. He said automatic weapons are illegal. If that facilitates that, to me, it would be subject to the same ban. If it goes to the Senate floor, I will vote for it. GOP senators are talking gun control all over the place now, complimented by Representative Bill Flores, Republican out of Texas, who says that he is not familiar with the device, but he thinks they should be banned. So now, overnight, again, we're seeing a frenzy begin in the gun market with them wanting to ban accessories now. And here's the thing about this. I don't care about bump fire stocks. I really don't. I don't use them. I don't own them. I don't like them. However, what we're about to do now, if they do this, and this will be essentially the first time in history if this happens on a federal level, that the federal government is allowed to come in and ban a firearm accessory. An accessory, guys. This is not constituted as a firearm. It is not constituted as a firearm device. It is a stock, a completely legal stock that bolts onto the back of a rifle that allows you to bump fire it more easily. If they are allowed to do this and they actually get these bills passed, it will be the first time that the federal government, and I'll repeat that, the first time they will actually ban accessories on weapons. They tried to do this stuff as far as the assault weapon ban in 1994, which banned guns that had certain characteristics that involved like flash suppressors, collapsible stocks, stuff like that, assault weapon styles that made them give it the scary name. But if they ban something like this, this is going to start a precedent that will allow them, along with ATF, to come in now and say, well, we don't like these optics. These optics are too aggressive. You can see too far. We're banning anything over a 10 times magnification scope because we think you could use this in a shooting. Also, too, if it's got a vertical grip on it, it makes the weapon be able to handle more efficiently in close quarter combats. We're banning vertical grips now. That's what this is going to open a door to if they are allowed to actually ban bump fire stocks. And again, as I said, I don't care about them. I don't use them. I don't own them. But we cannot allow the federal government to come in and start banning and restricting mild accessories that are added onto weapons that absolutely have zero part of the firearm functioning whatsoever, Dad. So the fact that they brought this up bothers me. The fact that a lot of them are about banning it bothers me. If ATF decides to ban it, that's completely up to them. I'm not a fan of ATF at all, but this would be their department. But if we actually have congressional hearings that go on with this and they say that they're going to rule from a federal level that they're going to ban bump fire stocks, that's a serious issue and will be a massive massive blow to the Second Amendment significantly.
You know, Austin, if they ban them, they'll ban their sale, but they're not going to make them illegal, do you think, as far as making them come off the market and you have to turn them in?
I don't think they could do that because, quite frankly, they're not serialized. So there's really no way to do that. They would probably do what they would do as far as grandfathering them in, is what they've done with certain weapons in the past, and allow you to keep what you already own and then ban future sales of them. That's more than likely what would happen. I don't think logistically you could ban the possession of them. However, California, as you guys know, when they passed that bill back in June, banned the possession of any magazines over 10 rounds or more. That is on a state level, however, but they will be going into implementing, I think, next year, June 2018, where it will become a felony to possess a magazine that carries over 10 rounds. If they did that with something with the bump fires and they decide to make it a felony to possess, they could hand it over to ATF and say they were going to have to be regulated and grandfathered in, and you'd have to pay a tax stamp on them and turn them into the NFA category. I don't think it'll go that far because I don't think literally they can get that type of approval on it, but they very easily could get these things banned from future sales. And again, that would start a very, very aggressive precedent for allowing the government to come in and ban firearm accessories and tell you what you could and couldn't add onto your gun that had zero functioning on the fire control system.
Wow, crazy. Oh, by the way, General Kelly, our little Trump screener now, who doesn't let anybody talk to General President Trump, was pulled off Air Force One. And some of the insiders are saying that he may be asked to resign by President Trump by the end of next week. This is some crazy stuff, guys. The mainstream media is floating rumors that Trump White House Chief of Staff John Kelly was removed from the Air Force One this week and may be resigning. Kelly has been assigned Trump duties the past months. According to conversations with Steve Bannon, John Kelly is not allowing President Trump to receive his news from conservative news outlets. And Bloomberg White House correspondent Jennifer Jacobs reports on Twitter that Trump's chief of staff was originally going to be on the Air Force One flight to Las Vegas, was pulled off the flight at the last moment. So, guys, this is really good news. If they can get rid of this guy, that'll be absolutely wonderful, since he's the one who's been running interference for Trump and not allowing people to get to Trump who can give him the real news. What do you think, son?
Yeah, I talked about that a couple days ago when last week, I think, when Julian Assange supposedly had said that he had information clearing the Russian collusion, basically to shut CNN and all these guys up in exchange for a pardon. Trump said he had not heard of any of that. There's a good possibility, as we have speculated numerous times, that he's being blocked from getting any of this news. You have to remember, I mean, he's surrounded by an entourage 24/7. I mean, he can't go anywhere without having an entourage of security around him. And the information that he gets is very, very controlled because of how many people are around him. It's not like he sits there every day and goes online and goes on to the Hagman website and goes look at Stephen Quayle and Alex Jones and checks all of us out and listens to the Ted and Austin Brower show on his free time. He doesn't do stuff like that. He doesn't have enough time to do stuff like that. So he pretty much gets his information from his reps that are on the inside. So if this guy really was blocking him from getting information, which I think he was, this would be very good news in the fact that we could actually start getting Trump some real news on what's going on, maybe allow him to make some more aggressive decisions that are in favor of the American population and constitutional rights.
I agree with you 100%. By the way, Monsanto has been busted again, writing their own independent safety reviews. God, this company won't quit. Leaked internal documents from Monsanto condemned the already struggling giant to maintain some level of integrity. The company has been caught red-handed again, using a ghostwriter to craft their own independent safety reviews to be published in scientific journals. This is absolutely crazy. Plaintiffs are suing the agricultural company, are alleging that Monsanto wrote several independent scientific reviews that proved that Roundup's main ingredient, glyphosate, was not a carcinogen, though their own research received through the Freedom of Information Act proved it was a carcinogen over 10 different types of cancer. This set of internal Monsanto emails shows that the reviews that claimed to be scientific and truthful were anything of it, but if inhaling or ingesting glyphosate doesn't give you cancer, then reading some of the documents might. It's disturbing, to say the least, how a seemingly business-like correspondent details a conscious and deliberate effort to fool the public. Guys, Monsanto is the uber-evil corporation of the planet, and quite frankly, it just needs to be avoided and banned, and I don't even know why in the world it's allowed to be in business anywhere. It's an extension of IG Farben from Germany from World War II, and it just needs to go away because it's got some really, really bad people that are in there running this company. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, no, Monsanto's a nightmare. There really is. There's absolutely no reason these guys have gotten away with so much except for the fact that they bribe and collude and do all types of devious behavior to get their way to the top and keep this stuff on the market. Guys, there's literally been dozens upon dozens upon dozens of independent researchers that have said this stuff is directly linked to cancer. Shoot, you can look at the research on our website at healthmasters.com with the rats that ate the GMO Roundup Ready corn, and within weeks, some of them months, they had giant tumors the size of baseballs and softballs growing out of their body when they ate this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, this significant problem with this food, and it's causing all types of health issues. That's why one of the biggest things I do when people call up and they're trying to get their diet right, I say, you got to get off the GMO foods. You got to go organic. You got to at least go certified non-GMO and organic as best as you can. And in a lot of those cases, just throwing in a couple of our basic supplements like the Ultimate Multiple Cod Liver Oil B Complex and cutting out GMO foods and, you know, eating organic food in the diet plays a huge role. I mean, people call them, man, I feel great. I'm eating cleaner now. I'm taking a couple of your base vitamins. I really feel good. It's not difficult, but you got to get off the GMO foods, man, because they are really, really, really causing significant health problems all over the globe. And the United States is the worst about it because all these mom and pop farms that have been here for the last 100-plus years are all starting to get bought out. Monsanto's buying them all out. They come in and say, hey, we'll give you $1 million for this farm, we'll give you $5 million for this farm, we'll give you $2 million for this farm, and they're buying them all up. That's why they're expanding so rapidly and they're getting such a foothold. It's like I talked to you guys a couple days ago. There's like 10 major corporations in the entire world that own everything as far as food distribution with Coca-Cola, PepsiCo, Nestle. That's it. So they, once they can get enough of this controlled and they can collude with Monsanto enough, getting true organic non-GMO food in the next 20 to 30 years, in my opinion, if we don't do something about it now, we're going to be in a serious pickle. I mean, a big one, because we're not going to have an option anymore. They're going to say, you know what, we just bought Cascadian Farms, or we just bought Horizon, or we just bought some other organic company, and we don't feel like we're going to disclose whether it's organic or not anymore, and we're not going to disclose whether it's got GMOs in it anymore, and quite frankly, there's no other company that's going to do it anymore. We have a monopoly on all of it as far as GMOs because of Monsanto, so good luck trying to find something that doesn't have GMOs in it, because we're in bed with Monsanto, we like our GMO corn, we get it for cheap, we're going to put it in all of our food now, and you're not even going to know what's in it. That's how it will go in the next 20 to 30 years, if not sooner, if we can't get this under control. That's why the biggest thing you can do, and it has been growing. The organic market has been growing substantially all over the country. Everybody I talk to, people are starting to get into this now. They want organic meat, or they want grass-fed meat. They want organic eggs. They want organic vegetables. If we keep pushing the demand for this up with our dollars, and that's all you really have to do is start buying it, supporting these companies, supporting local farms if you can find them in your area that grow organic, that have organic goat's milk, that have organic cow's milk, that have organic eggs, support these guys. Support the companies that are really trying to keep the organic non-GMO market going. That's the biggest thing we can do right now on a basic level, because trying to fight Monsanto head on, none of us have that kind of money. They have too much power and they have too many of the Congress in their pockets, as we've already seen numerous times when we've tried to get the labeling acts, you know, put on the books. Never happens. Not at all. So vote with your dollars. Buy with your dollars. Stop buying the junk food at the store that you know is GMO. If they don't want to tell you it's non-GMO, if they don't want to tell you it's organic, don't buy it. It's starting now because the market's getting so big. There's a lot of competition in the organic market, especially in the United States, which means the cost is starting to go down with some products. So a lot of times with coupons, if you look at where you're getting the food from and you do some research on it, especially with local farms, you can get a lot of this organic food for a really decent price. Not that much more than the garbage GMO food. So that's the biggest thing I can advise everybody right now, all of our listeners, start voting with your dollars and stop giving your money to Monsanto and all these other biotech industries, Deb.
You know, Austin, I saw some disinformation today on Whole Foods. And I thought, wow, it came from a major website that I get a lot of information from that usually screen their information better than this. and I'm really disappointed that they actually published it. And it was a writer who actually started off by slamming Whole Foods. And I thought, okay, and what they did was a psychop. They started slamming Whole Foods because they said that in some of the ingredients they use canola oil in their food bar, which is an absolute fact. Canola oil is basically Canadian oil, the Canada Oil Company, that's got it's so genetically modified, it's unbelievably, it's from the toxic rapeseed, unbelievably bad product to put into your body. You should never put canola oil in your body. And they were saying how a few of the products had canola oil on, but how the rest of the bar was all delicious and organic and absolutely the best food you've ever eaten at their buffet bar in the middle of Whole Foods. According to the manager of Whole Foods in Tampa that I spoke to a year or so ago, he told me that none of the food on the buffet bar at Whole Foods was organic. None of it. None of it was organic at all. He told me the organic food cost too much. They don't cook it on the buffet because they have too much spoilage on the buffet. And everything is basically just general food, GMO food, garbage food at the buffet, at the bar, at Whole Foods. Now, that bothered me because just a little tiny plate of this stuff was like $12. I mean, it was expensive, really, really expensive. And I thought, wow. I mean, the chicken's just regular chicken. It's not GMO-free food, corn. It's not organic. It's just regular food that nobody wants to eat who's health conscious. And I had eaten there several times before that, so I thought, well, if I'm going to spend this much money per pound on this stuff, I need to find out if this stuff's organic or not. And that's when I asked, and they told me that it was not. So, guys, be real careful with Whole Foods, especially now that Amazon owns them. And just be real careful, like Austin says, to try to buy certified organic and try to support your local farmers. It's a lot, lot better for the farmers in the area and for the local economy. By the way, Russia is now accusing the U.S. of supporting and Daesh in eastern Syria, which is, you know, one of the ISIS fighters. This is from the general. This is Major General Igor. I don't know why these Russians have to be named Igor. Igor Konovsky, a spokesman for the Russian Defense Ministry, said the main obstacle completing the defeat of the Islamic State, ISIS, Daesh in Syria is not the military capability of the terrorists, but the support for them and the flirtation with them by the United States. He says, this is what he goes on to say. He says that the Daesh had precise coordinates of the Syrian forces before the attack, and that information could have only been obtained through aerial reconnaissance. Remember, this is exactly what happened in Libya, in Benghazi. They had the precise coordinates of the embassy and the safe house, the precise coordinates. And in the movie, they asked, how did they get our precise coordinates? Because they don't have any air support. If the United States views such operations as unforeseen coincidence, then the Russian Air Force in Syria is prepared to begin the complete destruction of all such coincidences in the zones under their control. So we're getting some more of this tail wagging here with the military against each other. And then in the next very article that I get, it says, Pentagon denies the U.S. coalition works with Daesh terrorists in Syria. Pentagon denies that they're working with them in Syria. They said that Syria is in the wake of a statement by what Russian defense guy said. They said it's simply not true. Now, here's the thing. If it's not true, where are they getting this from? The Mossad? Are they getting them from other types of people that are out there doing aerial reconnaissance? I mean, it's coming from somewhere, guys. And quite frankly, this is why we did such a poor job in all of these years trying to get ISIS out of Syria. And when Russia started a few years ago, they had enough of it and started bombing all of their positions and pretty much won the war in Syria. I mean, it's pretty much over with over there. What do you think about this, Austin? They say, he said, she all said, nobody said. What's going on with this?
You know, when you hear all this stuff back and forth, my question is, a lot of times, and this is true in a lot of things, a lot of times rumors end up stemming from something true. Not all the time, and maybe not completely true as far as faction, what the rumors are, but the fact that this is what's getting said leads me to believe of what we have both thought for years and years and years, and we pretty much know when you start looking at all the facts that this is exactly what's going on. They're working with these guys direct. They're giving them arms. They're giving them munitions. They're giving them coordinates, the same things you just said happened in Benghazi, how they get our coordinates in here for the mortar strikes. Same thing I brought up last couple weeks ago. I started talking about literally the tens of billions of dollars in ammunition and guns that have disappeared in transfers to the Iraqi government and other governments over there in the Middle East. They just disappear. Oh, we don't know where 140,000 AK-47s went. They're unaccounted for. And that's what always boggles my mind, Dad. This just makes me laugh, because the liberal ideology with a lot of this stuff where they're like, oh, yeah, we need to do this and we should support this. We need to overthrow this country because, you know, they got a leader in there, you know, in Syria, and he's bad. And they try to justify the fact, oh, I don't know, it's not a big deal. We lost 140,000 AK-47s. Really? But you support the United States citizens being barred from even having a bump fire stock? You guys support that kind of crap? That's what boggles my mind, is that it's one thing over in the Middle East, oh, if we lose 140,000 machine guns, you know, a million rounds of ammunition, five, six, 7,000 RPGs, oh, yeah. But Americans, we couldn't possibly be okay with having a semi-automatic rifle. We need to ban those two, and anything that has more than 10 rounds needs to be banned. That's the irony of a lot of this stuff. But also in other news, over in England, the British Prime Minister now said, as of yesterday, from now on, everyone will automatically be an organ donor. They said from now on, you will automatically be an organ donor unless you go in and fill out the paperwork and manually opt out of the system. Meaning, in effect, the state will decide what will happen to your body, essentially, if you're about to die. And to my knowledge, that is, I am not an organ donor, by the way, if you guys want to know. I'll tell you that right now. I pulled that off my driver's license, told them not to put it on my driver's license when I used to ride street bikes, simply because I've heard way too many horror stories of people that had been in nasty wrecks, that were still alive, that were still in a coma, and they were organ donors. And essentially, if I'm not mistaken, if they cannot contact your family, as long as two doctors sign off on it, they can essentially harvest your organs if you're in some type of a coma or significantly injured, because to my knowledge, you cannot harvest organs from a dead corpse. Is that correct, Dad?
Depends on the organ. Some tissues you can take, but most of the organs, as far as the heavily blooded organs, no, you cannot take them off a dead corpse.
Right. That's what I thought. So that's why I'm not an organ donor. I'm not a fan of it. Don't want my body being chopped up and my heart pulled out and my lungs pulled out as my last breath, even if I'm in a coma. Not a big fan of that. But now the UK basically is telling everybody, you don't have the right of your body, and you're automatically going to be an organ donor. Now you got to go in and fill out all this paperwork and get it approved and tell them you want to opt out of the system. So from birth, at the start, you're automatically an organ donor now, Dad.
That's unbelievable, Austin. You know, it's not going to get any better, because they're going to continue to traffic organs. That's what this whole thing's about.
Yep.
Puerto Rico, by the way, is running out of money. This is from Bloomberg. Before tackling a $74 billion debt, a liquidity crisis is looming. If Congress doesn't send money, it will be a disaster. Puerto Rico government faces a shutdown on October the 31st, including halting its hurricane recovery if Congress doesn't provide billions in emergency funds, said Treasury Secretary Paul Maldonado. The U.S. Commonwealth's bankrupt government is burning through the $1.6 billion it had on hand before the hurricane ravaged the island, destroying decayed infrastructure and killing a lot of folks. With widespread damage due to telecommunication systems and electricity grid being down, Maldonado doesn't expect to begin collecting sales tax for at least another month, he said on Wednesday. Gosh, so over 100,000 homes were destroyed there. Puerto Rico's just not that big of a place, guys, and it got tapped out pretty hard on this. So, again, here we go. Sooner or later, these Sabbatean boys are going to come in and say, hey, guys, we're going to bail you guys out, but we're going to take the island over. We're going to own it lock, stock, and barrel, and we're going to basically seize all the property, and we'll turn it into a giant casino island, and we'll basically run organized crime out of this. And so we need everybody to vacate the premises or something there such. I mean, this is the kind of weird stuff these guys do all of the time. They like to seize stuff and throw the inhabitants off. Kind of like, you know, what happened in, well, I'm not going to say that. That's going to sound bad. But this is the kind of stuff that happens all over the place in the world. When somebody says, we like your property, we want it more than you, so you got to get off of it now. So it's sad, son. What do you think?
No, it is. It definitely is. It's one of those things where it's this repeated. So who knows? They could be doing something like that in Puerto Rico. They may have plans to completely push everybody off of it. Like I said, what's more than likely going to happen is, good possibility, a huge amount of the inhabitants of Puerto Rico are going to be funneled into Florida. Florida is essentially turning into, you know, a smaller California. They're trying to make it more liberal. They're trying to make it more, as far as it, with the Democrats taking over, that's what they're trying to do. I mean, you go down to South Florida and you really can't even function down there in most, you know, most jobs unless you speak Spanish down there. I mean, there's huge areas of Miami and South Florida, if you guys have never been there, where it is primarily Spanish-speaking language. You can't operate anything down there. You go down, I've been down there numerous times, even recently, and you go down there, you do something, and everybody speaks Spanish to you. And I go, I don't speak Spanish, please speak English, we're still in Florida. Not trying to be a jerk, but we're still in Florida. This is the United States. Don't speak to me like this is the only language we have in this country. And I have a real issue with that down here. But the problem is a lot of people move down there, and they come up from the islands. They come over from Mexico, and they refuse to learn English. And the problem is the longer that happens and the more people put up with that, it turns the entire demographics down there into a Spanish-speaking only. Now, if Puerto Rico comes in there, that's not going to be as bad because a lot of the Puerto Ricans still speak English. However, we don't need any more people in Florida. Talked about that yesterday. We're already slam-packed. They already have animals, gators, bears all over the place pushing into subdivisions because they're tearing up all the wildlife areas to put in more subdivisions. The roads are already packed. The retention ponds already flood. The traffic's absolutely horrible. We don't need more people. So if they shove another 3 million-odd people in Florida, it's going to be a serious issue for the state. But that may have been the goal. They may want to wipe out Puerto Rico, start over, turn it into some little private resort island that they can charge $1,000 a night for custom hotels on there. Who knows what the globalists want to do? Everything's about money with them. So I'm sure if we keep doing enough research, we're going to end up getting to the bottom of it, and it's going to be some other agenda that they're trying to do. In other news, I brought up Equifax earlier. As you guys know, the Equifax discovered that sometime in May, somebody hacked into its online databases, supposedly, unknowingly, and stole the names, birth dates, social security numbers, address, driver's license numbers, etc. of 143 million consumers. Equifax kept the discovery quiet for 39 days before finally informing the public on September 7th. And the Justice Department, as I mentioned earlier, has opened up a criminal investigation into three Equifax executives for dumping the stock before they publicly disclosed it. Well, now, IRS now has seen fit to award Equifax a $7.2 million fraud prevention contract. I'm not joking, $7.2 million. Steve Overtley and Nancy Scola reported for Politico on October 3rd, 2017, surprise, surprise, that was on Tuesday, right after all this stuff was going on, that a contract awarded for Equifax's data services was posted to the Federal Business Opportunities database September 30th, the final day of the fiscal year. According to the no-bid contract, the IRS will pay Equifax $7.2 million to help prevent fraud at the IRS by assisting and verifying taxpayer identity as Congress is investigating Equifax for the massive security breach that exposed the personal information. A no-bid contract, which they got, means that IRS deems Equifax to be the sole source order, the only company capable of providing the service. Means nobody else can bid on it. Nobody else gets a chance to get it. This boggles my mind, Dad.
Absolutely, you're right. But Equifax, they're already not corrupt enough. By the way, I just got a text in from one of our supporters, and his wife is one of the top people in a local hospital, and she has told him multiple times about the organ donor program and has said to him that the hospital doesn't even try to save the organ donor programs from dying because if there's too much money in the organs, if they can take these organs out while this person's still alive. Remember this, guys. My sister, she did her internship at the Shands Teaching Hospital in Gainesville, Florida, and she said they got their organ transplants from I-75, primarily from motorcycle riders on I-75 that had organ transplants on their driver's license. They don't really have an incentive to keep you alive if you're in a bad comatose state or if you're basically brain dead or if you're seriously injured and they don't think they can save you. It's more economical for them to start stripping organs out of your body, put you on a heart-lung bypass machine, and just start peeling stuff out and tying it off and getting it ready for transport. And I know that sounds awfully graphic, but guys, that's just the way it works. That's what these guys do. So I am not an organ donor. My sister told me never be an organ donor because she was one of the top doctors there in the hospital. She said, don't be an organ donor. She goes, you don't want to do that. Never, ever sign up for that. Because, guys, I'd rather have them, if something happens to me in an accident, I kind of want them to keep me alive instead of kind of like coring me out, taking all my stuff out. That, to me, is not very cool. I think it's awful. By the way, Catalonia is basically moving to declare independence from Spain on Monday, even though they sent the troops in to stop them from voting. the pro-independence parties are seeking Monday to vote on independence. They want to get out of Spain. They've had enough of this. They say that Spain is basically bankrupt and they don't want to be involved in it anymore. They're spending billions and billions of dollars to Spain every year in taxes, getting nothing in return. The crisis has weakened the euro, Spanish bonds and shares. I mean, we literally have hundreds of thousands of people, some people say millions of people, who are basically protesting right now in Spain with Catalonia. And there's a real good possibility, guys, with these guys, this thing could turn into a civil war. This is a mess. These guys want out. And quite frankly, I think they need to be let out. It's kind of like if California wants to bail out of the United States, the land of the fruits and the nuts and the flakes, my only response is, bye-bye, I'm done with them. I don't even care. That place is a bunch of weirdos. They can just take off and go and be out of the U.S. Don't care. They want to leave. Just put up a wall all the way across Mexico and all the way at the border of Canada, and they can just deal with this, their uninterrupted flow of illegal immigrants coming in from Mexico as much as they wanted to California. And California basically then could be deeded back over to Mexico. What an unbelievable mess. I feel bad for the guys in Catalonia, and they shouldn't be forced to stay inside of a country that is this corrupt from the top to the bottom with Spain, which is pretty much a communist country. It's a mess down there. What do you think, son?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a powder keg. It's definitely getting heated. I've watched some of that stuff down there. And with the border wall, too, though, they said that down there in Texas and everywhere else, they said mock-ups, apparently now, this week, mock-ups of the proposed border wall expected to provide a physical barrier between the United States and Mexico are currently being built in San Diego already. Photos released to the Customs and Border Protection account Wednesday shows various construction projects are underway since last Tuesday in Tijuana, Mexico. They said the Trump administration selected six companies last month to craft eight wall prototypes, four of which will be building using concrete, four others will be constructed with alternate or other materials. So it looks like these guys are starting it up. There's photos of them all over the place. They're working on it. So, it's pretty wild. Let me let you hold the show real quick, Dad. I got to handle something in the office. I'll be back here in about 2 minutes.
Let's do it. The House panel, by the way, has approved $10 billion for the border wall, which I think is pretty cool. The House Homeland Security Committee approved Wednesday a border security bill that includes $10 billion for a border wall. And remember, this still has to go through Congress. The Border Security for the American Act, proposed by Committee Chairman Michael McCaul, Republican from Texas, was passed on a party line of an 18-12 vote. The bill includes $10 billion in border wall funding, $5 billion to improve ports of entry, and adds another 5,000 agents to both the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection. The legislation would also authorize the federal government to reimburse states up to $35 million for use of the National Guard assets to reinforce border security. The legislation will head to the House floor amid debate of whether border security provisions should be attached to the potential legislation to protect recipients of the rescinded Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the DACA program, the Dreamers Act. The Democrats criticized the bill as a political stunt to appease the president, Trump, who proposed the border wall as a central point of his campaign. There was a time in the not-too-far-distant past when this committee cared for facts, data, and results, said ranking member Bernie Thompson, Democrat, Mississippi. Thompson called the Republican proposal an attempt to fulfill a misguided campaign promise. McCaul praised Trump's focus on border security and urged the committee to seize the opportunity to legislate on the issue. We finally have a partner in the White House who has prioritized this issue, and it's time for Congress to do its job, he said. While the bill is expected to pass the House, it is unlikely to clear the Senate, where it needs a 60-vote majority. Guys, that's the same problem that we had with Obamacare, remember, because too many of these Republicans, like the gosh-awful John McCain, are voting against the government and doing everything they possibly can to do what they can to derail the Trump administration. These are GOP guys going after GOP guys, which is absolutely ridiculous. On the next story, WSJ, Ed Board, the Federal Reserve needs an outsider for chairman, not Yellen or Powell. And what Donald Trump is doing is he's saying he's going to try to get a lot of these insiders, these Sabbatean Kabbalists is what they are, off the Federal Reserve boards throughout the United States. We'll see if he can do that, because if he can do that, it'll make a huge, huge difference. I've got a friend of mine who played football in high school. He also coached Vance Williams, who basically now is playing with the Steelers. And Steelers Vance Williams is so angry. He's got a picture of him just absolutely just blowing his, about to blow a temple out, it looks like. He's saying to the fans who burned their jerseys, if you burned your blankety blank, don't buy it back. Pittsburgh Steelers linebacker Vince Williams apparently can't keep his mouth shut. Doesn't care if the fans don't like the player protesting the national anthem. In fact, he told the fans that burned their stuff, don't bother coming back. During the Steelers' week game 3 against Chicago Bears at the end of September, the team seriously botched its response to Donald Trump's criticism of the NFL for continuing to allow the national anthem protests. So now apparently this Vance Williams, apparently everybody who says to all of these fans who left, good riddance. Guys, you know, here's the thing. This is the problem you get when you have these people that are the athletes that don't really understand how they're making their millions of dollars a year, and they don't understand how revenue is generated and how important it is to retain a fan base or a consumer base, which is what the NFL's people are. Then they would want to run their mouth like this, burning as many bridges as they possibly can, not thinking for one second they're going to allow the people to come back who are supporting them and buying their stuff. Oh, by the way, this is another article that says, CNN columnist says, CNN, the constant news network, the constant negative news, the communist news network, whatever you want to call it, Vegas shooting is because America is silently accepting the rage of white men. I don't even know what to say about this. CNN published a column on Wednesday declaring that the mass shooting that took place in Las Vegas was a result of America having silently accepted the rage of white men. In the column by Nats Modan, editor of Muslim Girl magazine, sounds like a lot of credibility for this guy, Modan argues that the recent mass shootings have been met with a fatal passivity and would generate far greater anger if they were committed by ethnic minorities. You know, guys, let me tell you something here, Mr. Naz Mordan, or whatever your name is, the editor of the Muslim Girl magazine, like anybody actually reads that magazine. Here's the thing. Obviously, you're a Muslim, okay? Obviously, you don't care about white men, and obviously think that it's okay for people to accept things that other people do, and now obviously you're going to be a racist with all of this stuff. Newsflash for you here, Buckwheat. I don't accept any of this stuff. This thing's a giant, seething, false flag. We have no idea if the guy was white who was doing the shooting, if he was black, or if he was a Muslim, or he was Hispanic. We don't know who the special ops teams were that were involved in any of this stuff. Get your head out of your derriere and realize very, very quickly that it's not about whites, it's not about blacks, it's about an out-of-control government that's been taken over and hijacked by a bunch of Sabbatean Kabbalists, CIA, Mossad elements that are doing whatever they darn sure want to do, whenever they want to do it, because that's what they want to do. Because a bunch of sickos run everything and they control the money supply. Come on, guys. Think through this kind of stuff before you start writing articles like this and blaming everything on white guys again, you stinking racist. I can't stand it all. I can't stand these guys. Oh, by the way, GOP Senator Corn wants a hearing on the bump stop ban. Austin covered this a little bit earlier. But, guys, let me share something with you on this. If we start banning things from guns that are accessories, are we going to ban sights? Are we going to ban – what are we going to ban? Are we going to start banning everything about this? And here's another article I want to cover. This is another one of these funny ones. Michelle Obama, who according to Joan Rivers, before she died very abruptly in surgery, now being investigated for murder, Michelle Obama, that Joan Rivers says was a transvestite, a tranny, she says, all men, all white, GOP makes people distrust politics. Former transvestite, First Lady, I'm adding that, Michael Obama, claims the Republican Party's lack of diversity makes Americans distrust the political process. During an onstage interview, I don't know who would pay this woman, at the Pennsylvania Conference for Women Tuesday, Obama shared why... I'm sorry, I'm going to put some of my own words into this article real quick. I can't just read this the way it's being written because it's bugging me too much. Obama, the unbelievably ugly transvestite who was working at a women's meeting the other day, who basically has nothing to do with women because she's not a woman, was basically saying we should be working actively to mix it up so we're getting a real broad range of perspectives on every issue. Shoot, I would see that in Congress, she added. Oscar, what do you think about this? What do you think about this tranny coming in and slamming men and slamming everybody else? I mean, this is absolutely nuts, bud.
Oh, she's nuts, man. I mean, there's been so many different rumors about her. Whether or not they're true, I don't know. But it always seems to be what they're always trying to push now, this liberal feminist agenda. And it's kind of obnoxious, to be honest with you. It really is. It's old. The joke's over. It's not funny anymore. So I'm just kind of like, I don't know why they continue to do it. But especially coming from her and what her husband did and everything with their background, not very, I don't know. I don't respect anything she says at all. So But also, too, I just pulled up an article a minute ago now. It looks like they're showing, as of today, the sheriff of, where's it at here? Basically, of the county of Las Vegas that's out there. He's come out now and said that he does not believe that that Paddock did this by himself, that he had accomplices that has helped him do it. He said in a report today, he said he did not believe essentially the mainstream narrative at all. He said he had to have had some help with this, and we're determined to find out who it was and what happened with all this. He was on face value. You've got to make the assumption that he had some help at some point, and we want to assure that we get the correct answers with this. So whether or not he's awake and knows what's going on, I don't know. But for him to come out and already say, as far as against the mainstream narrative and the FBI narrative of what's going on, and say he does not believe this guy did this by himself, that he had an accomplice, essentially coming out and not saying it, but implying that this guy had multiple shooters and multiple support personnel that night is what he implied in the press conference. And hopefully some of these guys slipped up and we're going to find some real evidence that's going to really show us what happened here, and we can start putting the pieces together, because pretty much everybody I've talked to, even people that aren't into anything as far as conspiracies or into real news or in anything significant, most of the people I've talked to over the last couple of days have told me this whole story doesn't make sense. The mainstream narrative doesn't make sense. Nothing about this adds up. That a 64-year-old retired millionaire accountant decided to get essentially one of the top suite rooms in the hotel and bring 20-plus weapons up there with tens of thousands rounds of ammunition and start shooting at a crowd almost 1,000 meters away and injuring over 500 people. Nothing makes sense about it. And then shoots himself before the SWAT team gets there, with the SWAT team literally standing down for 27 minutes before entering the room. Nothing about this whole story makes any sense at all. And I really hope that the sheriff of that county is awake and he's really trying to get to the bottom of what's going on, and he can actually get us some answers there, because there's definitely a lot of stuff that I think we all want to know about what that's going on with this.
Well, I'm going to say something pretty graphic. I'm going to change the subject off this right now. If these guys weren't after the weapons that they showed on display in the room, which were very carefully laid out, you know, with their bump suppressors or their bump stocks and their flash suppressors and their grips and all the other things they want to make illegal and their big magazines, you know, if they really wanted to do major damage with this and somebody was going to bring up all of these weapons, they should have brought in a belt-fed 50 caliber weapon. But see, they know those are very rare and nobody has those, and that they're not really something that anybody besides the U.S. military is going to have access to, as far as a one that actually functions and is good shape, unless you're going to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for the weapon, or $100,000, whatever they're selling for. Or they could have come in with a 308 minigun. Of course, that's another one that's completely banned from public sales. So, you know, that's the thing they didn't do. They took generally accessible weapons that you can buy at your gun shops and use these. Quite frankly, if they had come in with a 308 minigun, this would have been unbelievably horrible. If they'd have come in with a 50 caliber belt fed, just the ricochet of the ammo all over that asphalt, it would have been unbelievably horrible. You'd have had much higher than 50 people killed, if that indeed is the true death toll. So it's sad to me, Austin, that again, it's obvious that if this was going to be a Mossad / CIA / secret society / whatever you want to call them / operation, if they weren't coming after our weapons, son, they would have used something a lot bigger than this. Shoot, they could have planted a bomb in the doggone facility and detonated that, or they could have exploded the aircraft fuel tanks right behind the behind the side. There was aircraft fuel tanks. They had a couple bullet holes appeared from ricochets. They didn't ignite, because it's kind of hard to ignite diesel fuel or aircraft jet fuel, because it's kind of like a diesel fuel. But they could have exploded those tanks. They could have put plastic on those tanks, blown them up, and killed thousands. They could have done that. They didn't do it. They were specifically coming after this Hearing Protection Act, specifically coming after specific weapons. By the way, business as usual at America's largest psychiatric hospitals, patient sexual abuse and violence. Years ago, I remember, I applied for a job as an intern, or whatever you want to call it, at a hospital, and they were going to put me on the psychiatric ward, which I kind of declined wanting to work there. And I found out later there's all kinds of shady stuff that happens in those places. And apparently that's going on right now, and nobody's really doing anything else. They have all kinds of sexual assault and other lawsuits. I mean, this goes on and on and on. So, guys, if you've got a problem and you need to deal with it from a medical standpoint or a mental standpoint, if you've got problems with mild to moderate forms of depression or you just don't feel right, try our 5-HTP, try our cod liver oil, try our methylated B vitamins, try to get a psychologist to give you some counseling who's a Christian psychologist at a local church. Try everything you possibly can before you get sent into the MIB, the Medical Information Bureau, Men in Black, nightmare scenario in which somebody walks into your house one day and say, by the way, we're going to Baker Act you so we can go ahead and do some electroconvulsive shock therapy on you because we're not going to give you much of a choice on this. Always try natural stuff first. Try to avoid these guys as much as you possibly can. Guys, thanks for supporting Health Masters. Great show today. I really enjoyed this one. A lot of different stuff. I got tired of talking about the stuff in Vegas all week, so I'm glad we got to do some other topics today. God bless you. I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from you. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for praying for us. And thanks for so many of you send me information all the time. Thank you so much for that. I love you guys. I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and take it, and I'll go ahead and write it up.
Absolutely, guys. We do appreciate it. And also, too, I just saw this a second ago now. They said that a security guard was the first person to discover his location on the 32nd floor, and now they're saying that Paddock released over 200 rounds straight down the hallway, and the security guard was hit and killed in the volley of bullets. I don't know why this is the first time we've heard about this 5 days later. It seems pretty odd to me. If he shot 200 rounds down the hallway, he didn't hit any other occupants that were in the room or anything else. Very odd situation. So we'll address more on that tomorrow. But yes, guys, if you need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. We appreciate your support. And guys, if you're calling us up, we're always here to help you, but please understand, if you're calling us up to ask us about medication that you're taking or your mom's taking or your mom's sister's brother's taking, we're not going to answer that. We're not pharmacists. We can't give you advice on what to do with your medication. We can advise you on natural supplements that can help out with overall health, but the first thing when you guys call up and say, I'm on this and this and this and this medication, what can I do to come off of it? We're not going to answer it from a liability standpoint. We physically can't get involved with that. So please understand that when you call us up and cut us some slack, we really, really appreciate the support in doing that. Thank you so much for your business. Be sure to check out the product of the week, the magnesium brain food, on sale for over 10% off at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.